Musik von Fink hier gehört in der Morning Show am Nachmittag um 10 Minuten nach 3. Was willst du mal werden? Diese Frage haben wir alle schon mal ertragen müssen, bis weit in die 20er oder auch noch weiter, ne? Je nachdem, wie ehrgeizig man so sein Lebensziel verfolgt. Wenn dieses Lebensziel Musiker oder Musikerin heißt, dann zieht sich der Weg zum Erfolg auch mal etwas länger hin. Wir haben allerdings, wie gesagt, Fink zu Gast. Der hilft euch auf die Sprünge, denn er doziert am British and Irish Modern Music Institute. Welcome to the show, Fink.
How you doing?
Good, and you?
It's great to be back.
You're using a cane.
I am using a cane.
Oh. Fink benutzt einen Gehstock, denn er hat sich das Bein gebrochen, hat er gerade erzählt, und zwar irgend so einen komischen Spiralbruch und der, how long does it take to heal?
I don't know, too long, man.
The end of the summer?
Until the end of time.
Okay. I will explain a little bit about you. Fink war schon echt alles im Musikbiss, also er hat in der Poststelle von einem Label hat er angefangen, dann hat er für Majors so Schreibtischjobs erledigt, für Ninja Tunes als DJ um die Welt gereist, für John Legend Songs geschrieben und so weiter. Und seit 10 Jahren gedeiht so auch seine Singer-Songwriter-Karriere. Inzwischen füllt er auch mal regelmäßig das Tempodrom. You've done it all, ne? From A&R to DJing to songwriting to becoming a star in your own right.
I've done all that. I don't know about the star bit, but yeah, I've done a lot of stuff, for sure. Yeah,
I've done a lot of stuff. Are you one of those people who say like, oh, I'm a jack of all trades, master of none?
Well, no, precisely. That's the downside of being of doing everything, is that maybe I haven't actually nailed any of them.
Where you at now, is that, would you say that is actually the place where you always wanted to be?
Well, originally I wanted to be the guy who owned the record company. That was my first dream.
Are you close to that?
Well, I do own a record company, but now I know what it's like. Yeah, it's more of a nightmare, really. You got to deal with artists all the time.
But you're still doing it.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, the music business is a great place to be, and it's very inclusive, funnily enough. And, you know, there's space for everybody, you know. It's a great place to work.
Ja, Fink sagt also, er wollte am Anfang irgendwie jemand sein, dem das Label gehört, und ihm gehört das Label jetzt. Jetzt merkt er erstmal, wie viel Arbeit das überhaupt ist, aber er macht das trotzdem gerne und will es auch weitermachen. Without bending to, like, contemporary trends or anything, you have kind of shaped your own audience, you know, and quite an impressive audience. You fill the Tempodrome in places like this now. Do you believe in luck, or is it all hard work?
Well, it's interesting you say that. My dad used to say, yeah, the harder you work, the luckier you get. And I think he's right. When I was a DJ, I would always, you know, get home from work and have to motivate myself to go into the studio and make electronic music. And I would always be thinking, if I was sat in front of the PlayStation and playing PlayStation for a few hours, I would think, what's my competition doing? What's my idol doing right now, you know? In the early days, it was like Ronnie Size, this drum and bass guy. And I'd be like, I bet he's not sitting on the couch playing PlayStation. And
maybe he was.
Oh, maybe
he didn't have that
spending
many
his, spending his brown paper bag money. But yeah, it really motivated me to get on with it. And I rarely take like days off. I only need a couple of hours. I only need to think I'm having a day off, and it's a day off, really.
Is it when you have a day off that you're already thinking like, oh, I could be using this time for something?
Absolutely. I know that feeling. Okay, it's a day off today. What can I do to beat my to-do
make
list?
It less off.
It's so true. But I had a lovely weekend this weekend. Berlin's just blooming. It's just fantastic right
it's
now.
It's the best kind of weather you can
Absolutely.
Have in Berlin.
I love it. So,
what did you do?
I did go to my studio on Sunday, to be honest. But
Does it have a lot of windows and you can keep them open
all
the time?
Actually, this one does, actually, shockingly enough. Yeah, this one has a lot of windows. It was very nice.
Where is it about?
It's in Wedding.
Oh.
It's really nice. A really beautiful spot in a place called Silent Green. It's
The old crematorium.
Yeah, it's really lovely up there. And it's not really a studio where you think it's going to be a dark room with no windows and no air conditioning, because I did spend a week in one of those studios last week and that was brutal. But yeah, mine's got lots of windows and stuff like that. And luckily the music that I make isn't too, noisy. I'm not making a speed metal record. So
no.
I can have the windows open and the neighbors don't mind, you know, hearing me plinking and plonking around. It's kind of cool.
Also Fink ist in seinem Leben schon von Job zu Job zu Job gesprungen. Und also ich habe immer so den Eindruck, so immer wenn ihm eins langweilig geworden ist, hat er was anderes dann probiert. Ist aber auch so ein Arbeitstier, kann keinen Tag einfach rumsitzen. Wenn er einen freien Tag hat, dann überlegt er sich schon, wie kann ich den jetzt noch mit Arbeit füllen. You just said it, that your music is not like, you know, death metal, like super loud. It's not 50 people playing in the studio at the same time. Why did you decide it would become a good idea to become the go-to songwriter for The Walking Dead?
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
You've had a couple of songs there, no?
No, I only got one song on The Walking Dead. But
Warm Shadow.
Warm Shadow, yeah, which was awesome. And Bon Iver did a great cover of it as well. We were both going for the same slot on the show.
Oh.
That came about because I know the music supervisor for that show, Thomas, and he's a good friend of mine after all these years. And he music supervised for another show called Breaking Bad.
Uh-huh.
And I really wanted a Breaking Bad sync like crazy. So
did that happen?
I was like, dude, you can have anything. You can do it for nothing. Just got to get me on Breaking Bad. And he tried and nothing would fit.
Uh-huh.
So he said, oh, dude, I'm sorry, but I reckon we got one for this show we do called Walking Dead. And I didn't really know it. Well, not really a zombie guy. So I was kind of like, okay, fair enough. And then I was in.
Fit so good, didn't
it? Well, I was in LA when it broadcast, and it really was an epic moment. And all of our social media just had an absolute meltdown. It turns out it's the biggest show. It was the biggest show on TV. And it was just, it was epic. Like our Shazam numbers. We get loads of licenses across lots of different shows and movies. We're very lucky like that. But on that particular one, like our Shazam graph was like off the graph, you know? And
yeah.
And it was the whole. It was great. Yeah, it was really
perfect.
It was really. I mean, I've done a few custom rights for movies and shows, but that Walking Dead one was really kind of epic. Yeah.
Before we talk about what you do in this course that you're teaching, or this class that you're teaching, would you say even now that we're speaking about placing songs of yours in TV shows and things like this, are you very choosy, very protective of your artist brand, so to speak?
We are with movies, and we took one TV ad in the early days because we needed the money. You know, back in 2006, we took an ad for a credit card company, which paid for the record, you know. So, but we haven't taken an advert since then. So I think we're quite picky when it comes to advertising.
What's the most horrible thing that was offered to you?
I think a yogurt company once put a number on the table that was very difficult to say no
was
to.
Was it a song that sounds like Warm Shadow, like people eating yogurt to it?
It was like one of my favorite Think songs or something, and they were like, yeah, and it's going to suit this brand. And I'm like, how can it? Yogurt? No. Well, then they put a number on the table, and then it was like, oh, it's going to have to be a no. But, you know, luckily our music doesn't get used in a lot of crappy movies or bad TV shows.
It's more people with taste who like your music.
Maybe, or at least it's moments that mean something. It tends to be decent syncs. I don't have a TV, so I don't really watch a lot of these shows, but I sometimes have to approve the big usages, and that's how I got into Walking Dead, by approving the usage, and now I've watched all like 28 seasons. I'm completely, completely hooked. But you've got to be a bit choosy about your brand. You know? All of us look up to Radiohead and see that they haven't ever done a TV ad or...
Ah, well.
Yeah, and we love that. That's great. That's why we love them.
Okay, but they have problems too.
Their latest album's awesome. Have you heard it?
It is. I really like it.
I love it.
And
it's
the two albums before that I didn't really like.
Well, I always hear a Radiohead album and think to myself, I don't like this one as much as the last one. Mm. Every single record. And then, but then everyone's soundtrack's a different part of your life and... You end up really loving it.
Then let's say the new album is, I like it better than the last two ones.
Yeah.
That sounds kind of better, now.
That's cool. I mean, yeah.
It's a different perspective.
This one's much more relaxed. It's very pleasant. It's very, very easy to listen to.
It's true.
It's not like super challenging and difficult. No. And they've got a lot of criticism in the press for that in the UK.
Who cares?
It's a beautiful record. And
true.
As I was saying to a friend of mine the other day, Sven, you know, they're actually above all the rules now.
Yeah,
they've
got nothing to prove.
They've got nothing. They don't put out a record because they want the journalists to say it's really cool. They really don't. They put it out for us.
Ja, Fink hat uns gerade so ein bisschen erklärt, wie seine Karriere so aufgebaut ist, also wie schwierig es auch ist, manchmal auszusuchen, ob man nicht doch für die Joghurtfirma seinen Song weggibt, weil das so gut in deren Werbung reinpasst, und dann muss man halt manchmal sagen, nein, obwohl die Summe da drauf auf dem Scheck da doch relativ groß ist. Er ist allerdings jemand, der Dozent ist an der British and Irish Modern Music Institute, und da unterrichtet er Songwriting. Darüber reden wir gleich ein bisschen. Dazwischen ein Song jetzt von ihm auch namens Berlin Sunrise. Berlin Sunrise. A song by you, as you obviously know.
Yes.
Don't tell me you wrote it on Modersohnbrücke, sitting there like being drunk.
I actually, I actually wrote it in this hotel room balcony in Berlin somewhere, but I had in my mind the view from Warschauer Bridge, only because before I lived here, you're always going over that horrible bridge, and the view on each side is amazing. And I've just seen so many sunrises on that bridge, you know, just randomly in a taxi or walking home or whatever. And that image really, it's always stuck with me.
Ja, also falls ihr jemals den Sonnenaufgang gesehen habt auf der Warschauer Brücke oder natürlich auf der Modersohnbrücke, ist das Ganze ein Stückchen weiter hinten, dann hört jetzt hier mal zu und guckt, ob ihr eure Emotionen hier drin entdeckt. Berlin Sunrise, Fink, danach reden wir weiter mit ihm. Musik vom neuen Head of Songwriting am British and Irish Modern Music Institute, kurz BIM. Fink ist in der Morning Show am Nachmittag auf Flux FM. Hallo Fink.
Hallo.
You've been living in Berlin for a couple of years. Question always, do you speak some German?
No, I don't speak any German yet.
You speak some German. No, I just don't want to tell us.
I live near organic coffee shops and vegan, you know, I'm a hipster.
That's
I'm ruining
the worst.
This city.
Okay.
I'm the reason the rents are up. I'm really sorry. Don't hate me for that.
What do you pay for rent?
Well, that's a rather personal question.
Well, this is a personal interview.
I pay more than my friends did 10 years ago.
Okay, fair enough. I read that your course at the BIMM will be like the movie Whiplash mixed with School of Rock.
That's right. Yeah.
That's what you said. I hope it doesn't mean you're a patronizing dictator.
Well, sometimes you have to be, yeah? You know, you got to be cruel to be kind. Some tough love.
Explain that to me. You have to be cruel to be kind.
You know, honesty is the only way anybody learns is by people being honest, right? So you be as honest as you can be and still be, you know, useful as opposed to spiteful and moody.
Yeah.
On the course I've just done, the third term course I just did, yeah, I might have got a little reputation for being a bit harsh.
How so? Give me an example.
If you play me a song
and
80% of it's great and 20% of it's rubbish, then I'm not doing you any favors if I tell you that it's great. I have to tell you that that's great, and that bit could be better.
Well, that's still the right order, though. I mean, some people say, like, oh, that last part is really shit, and then you think, like, oh, God, I suck forever. But if you say, like, oh, this is great, this is great, this is great, this needs work, this is something else. This is not being, it's not being a dick.
I've been on the other side of that fence, having been A&R'd for 10 years at Ninja Tune, so I know what it feels like for someone to say, this isn't good enough, and for you to think, what do you know?
Yeah, sure.
I'm the artist and you're useless.
Can be heartbreaking.
And then a couple of weeks later, that was my cane, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of weeks later, you agree, but as an artist, you love what you do and you love when you write it and you're really in the mix and you play it to somebody and they go, yeah, it's all right. And then your immediate reaction is anger and, bitterness. Yeah. So I get it.
Fink unterrichtet Songwriting in einem Kurs am British and Irish Modern Music Institute und er ist da so auch durchaus, also wir haben schon gesagt, so eine Mischung aus dem Bandleader da aus Whiplash oder beziehungsweise dem Typen, den J.K. Simmons da spielt und auch Jack Black in School of Rock. Also er macht schon Frontalkurs und ist nicht immer der sanfteste, aber das Ganze macht er mit einem gewissen Anteil an Herz, möchte ich das mal so sagen, wie ich das hier gerade rausgelesen habe. You're telling young artists to be patient. Do you think that has become harder with time?
Yeah,
definitely. In our time, to be patient with your own stuff.
Yeah, because it's so easy to put everything up online.
Yeah.
And then it's out there. And as my manager always taught me, you got to trade on potential. That's his mantra, trade on potential.
What is that?
That means that you do a deal on what you could be, not on what you are, basically.
So
is that too deep for this time of the day?
Maybe. No, it's just too deep for me. Could you explain it to me?
Sure.
As if I was 5 years old.
Okay. You write a song and it's really good.
Yeah.
So you play that one song to your record company and your record company go, wow, I bet the other nine are going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, yeah, you should give me that kind of check.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to do 10 and play them 10, and then they know what it is, and then they give you that kind of check. You know what I mean?
That's so pretty good advice.
Trade on potential. So a lot of the students, you're eager to share what you do, and you do a track, and you love it, and you put it on SoundCloud or whatever, and you get it out there. But it's a shop front out there, and you want to lead with your best track you've got, and don't put six tracks up, put one. Don't put a crap video up there. Video is better than a crap video. And just, just try and be patient. Nobody's waiting for a new record from these students. And when you put your first album out, then the clock is on every record. So, make sure you take the time and most importantly, kind of find out what kind of artist you actually are.
Yeah.
Do you want to be the new Ben Howard or do you want to be the new Jack Johnson? Even though they're two surf dudes with big records, they're significantly different. And when you're at college, that's when you kind of discover yourself. It's when I discover myself anyway. And it really helps if you just there's no hurry, there's no rush, you know.
Geduld ist ganz wichtig, sagt Fink. Also wenn ihr anfangt, Musik zu machen, wenn ihr 8 Songs geschrieben habt, knallt die nicht alle auf Soundcloud raus, sondern vielleicht nur den besten. Und dann werdet ihr auch nicht so viele Erwartungen erstmal schüren bei den Leuten. Beziehungsweise die Erwartung, dass alle anderen Songs genauso groß sind. Und es ist besser, als wenn man 8 rauspackt. That is a pretty general good advice for aspiring young songwriters. But I have the impression that the music biz for sure has become more democratic in the last years. No? Because everybody can put stuff out, as we just said. Would you say that the environment is improving in this way, or is that something? Is that a new obstacle? Is it just different? Does it suck all the same in some way?
Well, the music business hasn't changed since the 30s, man. You know, if you write a massive record and it sells a million copies, I mean, it's still a very honest business. But I it's not a very popular opinion amongst artists, but I think the music business is better than it's ever been. It's completely open. You can put your own labels out, start your own label, cost nothing. You can get paid if you get 20 million streams on Spotify. You're getting paid, and you weren't 10 years ago. There's so much more access to education. You can just Google your problem and watch a TED talk on it, and you know about publishing rights in, you know, America or something, whatever your gig is. And all of that openness is really fantastic. I mean, it does mean there's more music and there's more competition for space. And maybe the only negative side is that the bigger labels are much more, as we say, risk averse these days. It has to be a hit. They won't sign 10 artists and hopefully one of them will work. They'll sign the one that will work. You know, it's that kind of environment.
Yes.
But for the independent sector, that's been brilliant. It means there's a lot of artists coming to the indie sector where I live. If you're on an indie, 20,000 copies is a big success.
It is.
If you're on a major, 20,000 copies is an absolute disaster. So it depends what you want, really, you know? I mean, the music has split itself in two between pop and everything else, and that's been great for both sides. We don't compete for the same radio space. We don't compete for the same TV space. I don't care if it's in the top 40. It doesn't matter. My singles aren't even chart eligible anymore. It's so irrelevant to us. Whereas when I was a kid, it was, if it wasn't in the top 40, I would never know about it.
So
I think all of that's great for young artists.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. Fink hat gerade so ein bisschen die Musikindustrie der Gegenwart ein wenig verteidigt und das ausgeführt. Ihr merkt schon, der Mann hat sich eine ganze Menge Platte gemacht. Er unterrichtet allerdings Songwriting am British and Irish Modern Music Institute, kurz BIM, also mit einem Doppel-M. Falls ihr da auch einen Kurs belegen wollt, dann geht einfach mal auf fluxfm.de. Da haben wir den Link zum BIMM hinterlegt. Fink. Anything that you have done, everything that you have done, if you could go back, would you do it all again the same way?
I'd probably spend less time DJing, but I really did enjoy that.
Was it a waste of time?
No.
Isn't that well paid?
I wouldn't say that. Yeah, I mean, it's well paid and it's, you get paid to party. That's fantastic. But I did kind of stay there rather too long.
Okay.
I'd probably DJ for half as much time as I did.
Okay.
And get into... discover my voice a bit earlier. I'll give myself a bit more time, probably.
Ihr habt's gehört. Der Mann sagt, nicht so viel Zeit mit DJing verschwenden, sondern lieber seine eigene Stimme suchen. Thanks for taking the time to come to the show.
Thanks for having me on.